Welcome to the Silver Screen Podcast. I'm Jared Boomer.
And I'm Katie Ganey West. This is a podcast about movies and pop culture.
And today we are reviewing the new movie, The Menu, starring Anya Taylor-Joy and Ralph Fiennes, also Nicholas Hoult, about people that go to a restaurant and bad things happen. So
indeed.
That is going to be our review today here on the show. We do have some news items, though, before we get into our review of The Menu. First up, Kirstie Alley unfortunately passed away this week. Obviously, acclaimed actress. She unfortunately died of colon cancer. Kept that a pretty private battle. And she was 71 when she passed away.
Yeah, I was really shocked by that because I hadn't heard she was sick. Like, you're not kidding. That was so private. I had not heard one word about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So RIP to Kirstie Alley. We also got some new trailers for some new Disney movies that will be coming out very soon. The trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 and then also Indiana Jones 5. Now, I'm fine with Guardians of the Galaxy. I think if you want to keep that going, that's fine, I guess. Indiana Jones 5, I watched the trailer. I really don't know if this is going to be good or not. I hope it is, but I'm not sure.
I don't really think anyone at Marvel cares about my opinion, so I don't think they're going to care if I want Guardians of the Galaxy 3 or not. I'm fine with it. I do think after 3, maybe they should chill. Like, I think that's enough. But also, I think we all know not a Chris Pratt fan. But Indiana Jones, I also don't think we need this, but I do think he's a beloved character and I'm more excited to kind of see what they do with it. But I do think that Harrison Ford is getting a little long in the tooth. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with aging. Just saying, like, he is definitely older. I'm impressed that he's filming it. I really am because of his age. But I don't know that it's a movie we need.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah, I think I'll go see it because I'm interested to see what happens on screen. But I don't know if it's going to be good or not. So
plus, I know this is silly, but like I've always been kind of proud of Indiana Jones because we're from Indiana. So it's like A Christmas Story. A Christmas Story takes place in Indiana. For those of you who don't know. Rudy, the movie Rudy. I mean, there's so many
Stranger
movies.
Stranger Things.
Yes. Yeah. And I really do think if people have. I think people where they come from, whether they like it or not, there's connections to them and some kind of pride with it. So, you know, I'll support something that has something to do with, well, the name, at least, Indiana.
Yeah. Yep. So we also wanted to give some shout outs real quick. We got our Spotify Wrapped for our podcast and we had a couple people that were, this was our number one podcast of 2022. So we thank you very much. If you listen to every episode of this or a lot of episodes of the Silver Screen Podcast, we definitely appreciate that. And we wanted to give a shout out to Lauren. We were her number one podcast of the year. So thanks, Lauren.
Lauren, she is such a loyal fan and still a very good friend. So I really do appreciate that. She sent that to me and I swear, Jared, I know we're not famous. This is not a number one podcast or anything, but I felt famous. For that brief moment, I was like, oh, what? Wow. Anyway, thank you so much, Lauren. And thank you to anyone. I know I have quite a few friends I can name right off the bat that I know listen to every single episode. And also, Jared, shout out to Sean. Sean is currently catching up on the podcast.
Ah, very nice. So
yes.
Also, I have one correction for Corrections Corner.
I
was labeling the podcast episodes, for some reason, I numbered them wrong. So if you were going through your podcast app, I went from like 160 to 130 for no reason. But I fixed them all today, so they're all fixed. But if you were like, which one is the next one? It shouldn't be a problem now for you to figure that out. So yeah.
And you know what? Also, while we're just being transparent, this was a couple episodes ago, but when we reviewed Till, my friend Andy, he's wonderful. He actually, I could tell he felt bad about letting me know this. But our description, we said Till, we were talking about him visiting his cousins and we said Missouri, but it was Mississippi, which we knew. And we accurately said that in the movie, but had typed it in wrong. But I could tell he felt really bad telling me. And I was like, no, we need to be historically accurate. I really appreciate your eagle eyes there. So anyway, Emmett Till, that unfortunate, horrifying event did happen in Mississippi, Money, Mississippi, to be exact.
Yes. That was a good movie too. Not an easy movie to watch, but a good movie. So if you haven't seen it,
but I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah,
I thought about that today actually.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, Okay, on to our recommendations. What do you have this week, Katie?
So, Jared, I am catching up. I've started, I caught up on a couple series on Netflix okay. that I had missed, like, during the play season and all that. But I really, there's nothing to write home about. Like, there were a couple, there's two shows I can think of immediately on Netflix that I think the acting, actually three, two and a half, let's say two and a half. I think the acting is so bad. And the writing is so bad. Like, the storylines are so preposterous that I actually get kind of ragey when I'm watching them.
Okay.
So I caught up on those because I was like, let's get another. But at the same time, I feel like I just want to know what's happening, or it's like very much geared towards women. And then I have okay. a lot of girlfriends that watch them. So I'm like, ugh, I have to watch it. But I'm not going to say the names because I don't want anyone to hate me. But if you listen to the podcast and you want to message us about it, more than happy to disclose there. Also, I did watch, though, one of those I really like is My Unorthodox Life. Have you seen it, Jared?
I have heard of it, but I have not yeah. watched it.
So I don't think anyone even recommended it to me. I came across it like when the first season came out, but this is the second season. It's less than 10 episodes. I think it's 9 episodes, the second season. But I knew about the woman who was the owner or creative director or something, CEO, COO, something high up for Elite Model, which is like an agency in New York. And I knew about them because of shows like America's Next Top Model and other modeling mm-hmm. things in fashion. Anyway, it's a fascinating show, especially if you're someone like me who's grown up with religion and care about that, but also have your own questions and issues with any of those organized religions. Because she left a Jewish, it was an Orthodox community. And she left because she felt women were very oppressed and treated horribly, which I would say, in my opinion, is absolutely accurate.
Okay.
So she left, and now she is not religious at all. But her family, she has four kids, and they have had different varieties of leaving it. And also some of them have stayed. And it's all about their life in New York and secular things versus Orthodox things. It's fascinating.
Okay.
Anyway, season two was out. It was great. I watched it in one day. Don't judge me. I was doing laundry and stuff, whatever. And then the only other thing, Jared, I did want to give the people what they want. I have an update on my reading. So this morning, December 6th, I finished my 90th book. And I know you're like, Katie, don't you want to read 100 by December 31st? Yes. Which means I have to read a full book every 2.5 days to meet my goal of 100. So pray for me immediately. I'm going to do my best. I will not phone it in and I will not lie. If I don't make it, I'm going to tell you the truth. But honestly, it's my own challenge. Challenge accepted. We're going to see if I can do it. So,
well, best of luck. So
thank you so
much. I hope you can get there. So
thank you.
My only recommend this week is I started watching a show on Hulu. I don't know if you've heard about this, Katie. It's a show called Reboot. It's a comedy.
No.
And it stars Keegan-Michael Key, Judy Love. Greer, Rachel Bloom, and Johnny Knoxville, of all people.
What a cast! Are you kidding?
And it's from the creator of Modern Family. So it okay. came out a couple months ago, but I just never watched it. But I watched the first two episodes. Basically, what it's about is it's kind of like a meta comedy. So there was this show. I forget what the title of the show was, but like it was a former sitcom. And then what Hulu did is they decided to reboot it. So the show was like acting like, you know, you're watching these actors reboot an old comedy that is now going to yeah. be on Hulu, but it's a show that's on Hulu. It's very meta.
Interesting. Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's kind of an odd little concept. But basically the show, the comedy that they're kind of rebooting, I would attribute it to like a Full House or, you know,
okay.
Fresh Prince of Bel Air or something like, okay. you know, like a show kind of like that. So, but again, I don't know where the season's going to go yet because I've only watched a couple episodes. But obviously, when you get those actors together, it's going to be pretty funny, especially if the guy that created Modern Family is, you know, behind it. So
yeah,
if you're looking for something, you know, light to watch, then definitely check that out. I will say it's not family friendly. They do drop the okay. F-bomb. There's nudity. So
it.
Do not watch this with, you know, kids in the room for sure.
Not a Christmas, not a like home for Christmas vibe.
No, probably not. Probably would not go home for Christmas vibe on this. But if you want to, you know, watch it by yourself or with adults, that's probably perfectly fine. But I could see how you would turn it on and be like, oh, it's a comedy. It's on Hulu. How bad can it be? It's kind of raunchy. So
got it.
Yeah.
Oh, Jared, I did think of one other news thing that I hadn't brought up. Have you been keeping up with this GMA, literally like an episode out of the morning show?
I have like, been thing that's following happening? A little bit. I know the two hosts got suspended, right? Or
yeah, I mean, they probably should.
Yeah.
Well, people got more upset because the gentleman, TJ, mm-hmm. has been, apparently he had another affair and
oh my
that
gosh.
Didn't end well. And it was okay. with a producer on the show. I think it's a producer. Now I don't want to correct it all. Just know it was somebody else on the show. So I think he's in hot water because of that, because this is now multiple colleagues and it's creating some turmoil and both people are married, including him. So it's just kind of a mess. And so I do think a suspension is probably warranted, but it's just been crazy because I think my phone, I have news apps and stuff and my, you know, it caters to what you usually
you
look up,
see,
talk about,
yeah.
whatever. Yeah. So I've been updated about this daily. And it's just crazy, though, because it's shown clips of them reacting like the next 2 days because they were on air 2 days this week after the news broke. And they're so awkward. And they're saying things like, yeah, definitely don't want this week to end. It's been great so far. And I'm like, you're on GMA. Why are you doing this right now? We're already all judging you. And you know what? I don't know. I don't know their personal details. I don't know if these people like they were in their marriages about to get divorced. Maybe they've already started divorce proceedings. I don't know. But what it looks like to the outside world is that these two have been having an affair and it blew wide open and now they're caught and now other people are coming out of the woodwork and it looks very messy. But at first I really did think it was a stunt because I was like, this sounds like something from the morning show. Like I thought this can't be real. This is just like a joke or this is something where this is coming out of the writer's room at the morning show, but they're going to, I'm just getting an update because the season's going to come out soon. I don't know. But I do feel bad for all people involved, especially people who have been cheated on. But wow, it is. I guess it's one of those things where you're just glad it's not happening to you.
Yeah, there's a lot of drama involved with that. So mm-hmm. yeah, we'll continue to follow that situation about the GMA anchors because that is just wild, honestly.
Now
we'll get into our thoughts on The Menu, released on November 18th of 2022, rated R for strong violent content, some sexual references, and language throughout. A runtime is an hour and 47 minutes. IMDb is a 7.5 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes, critics 89%, audience 78%. So critics liking this a little more than the audience. And box office wise, domestically, it's made $24 million. Worldwide, it's made $47 million. I would say that's a pretty good amount for a movie of this type. I don't think it's one that you necessarily have to go see in a theater. I think this would work very well if you streamed it as well, but I was impressed that the box office was so high on that, which is good because I like these type of movies and these original stories. So if they do well at the box office, that bodes well for more of them like getting made in the future. So synopsis for this one is a young couple travels to a remote island to eat at an exclusive restaurant where the chef has prepared a lavish menu with some shocking surprises. And there are definitely some shocking surprises throughout. Anya Taylor-Joy and Nicholas Holt are the couple. Ray Fiennes plays the chef at this restaurant. And this is directed by Mark Millod. Is that how you say his name? Or is it my Millod?
You know, I actually don't know, but I do think it's Mike. I think it's Millod. Let me double check the spelling here.
It's M-Y-L-O-D.
I think it's Millod because if it had an E, I do think that'd be Load.
Okay. So
but
Mark Millod,
I do think it's let's go with Millod. He's not going to call us.
No, he will not. So watch him tweet at us.
I don't have Twitter anymore.
That's true. I'll check it. He has directed 13 episodes of Succession. There's some big Succession vibes going on in The Menu, I would say for sure. He directed also 12 episodes of Shameless and a couple episodes of Entourage, Game of Thrones, The Affair, and Once Upon a Time. So he's done a lot of cable television shows, HBO, Showtime, things like that. So no upcoming projects listed, but he is married to Amy Westcott, who is a well-known costume designer, and she did the costumes on Black Swan, which are obviously iconic. So
yeah. I just think they're both very, like, that's a power couple right there.
Yeah.
With really good different interests.
For sure. So we will take a quick break here on the show and then we'll come back. We'll talk about the cast and our likes and dislikes for The Menu. And we're back here on the Silver Screen Podcast talking about The Menu. The movie doesn't have a huge cast. In fact, most of the cast is all together throughout the entire movie. But the person in the lead role is Anya Taylor-Joy.
Thank you, Jared. Anya Taylor-Joy plays Margot and also Aaron, but that's one of those, if you know, you know, but you have to see the movie to understand that. She is an English actress known for The Witch, The Northman, which I need to cycle back to that, circle back to that later, Amsterdam, which we just reviewed, Emma and the TV series Peaky Blinders, and The Queen's Gambit. Next up, buckle up, she's in Furiosa, Laughter in the Dark, The Gorge, and the Super Mario's Brother movie. So all of those things, Super Mario Brothers movie, and all of those things are coming out relatively soon. So you'll definitely see her again.
Yeah, she's working a lot.
Yes. So. And then speaking of someone who works a lot, next up we have Ralph Fiennes. He plays Chef Slowick. I have serious love for Ralph Fiennes. Like for real. But he's not on my list. Wouldn't give him a crush alert. Would definitely give his brother Joseph a crush alert. Anyway, Ralph is another English actor, and I did want to mention, Jared, I think I've mentioned this before, but his full name is Ralph. No, excuse me, Ralph. Sorry, it's pronounced Ralph. Ralph Nathaniel Twistleton Wickham Fiennes. Okay. Also, he was born December 22nd, 1962, so just want to wish him a happy early birthday. He is known for The Grand Budapest Hotel, The Constant Gardener, Schindler's List, Coriolanus, playing M in the latest Bond installments, and we will forever remember him for playing Lord Voldemort in the Harry Potter franchise. Unbelievably to me, he has been nominated for only two Oscars, which I was blown away. Those were for Schindler's List in 1994 and The English Patient in 1997. Next up, you can see him in Conclave, Farnsworth House, and The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar.
I don't know what any of those movies are about, but they sound like movies that he would be in just based on the title. So
exactly. Also, Jared, have you seen The English Patient?
You know, I don't know if I have seen The English Patient.
Okay, it's so good, but so sad. But you know how I'm like Brad Pitt? There was a certain era where I was like, ooh, in his prime. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let me tell you, Ralph Fiennes, number one hotness peak for me, English Patient.
Okay, good to know.
Okay.
The poster looks steamy. I'll say that much.
It is. It is. And it's, I'm fairly certain it's based on a book as well, but I haven't read the book. Could also be wrong about that, but again, I'm not going to look it up. Next up, we have Nicholas Holt. He plays Tyler. He's another December baby. I didn't do this on purpose. His birthday is actually tomorrow, December 7th. He's also from England. So none of these people are from America in this movie where they all have American accents. He is best known for Warm Bodies, Mad Max Fury Road, About a Boy, and X-Men Days of Future Past. Next up, you can see him in Nosferatu, Garfield, and Renfield.
Okay. Well, very interesting. They're doing another Garfield movie. Okay.
I know. I don't really understand. Well, I almost wondered if that could be about the president. Although, why would they do a movie about that president? But perhaps.
Could be.
But I didn't look. Sure. Thank you. And then this movie has an all-star cast. I absolutely mean this. Like, I know I say this. We say this about a lot of movies, but I recognized almost all of these people in this movie as well. So the rest of the cast includes Jane McTeer, Paul Adelstein, Hong Chow, John Leguizamo, Reed Birney, Judith Light, and Amy Carrero.
Very nice. And they are rebooting Garfield. It's coming out in 2024. Do you want to guess who's voicing Garfield?
Please don't say Chris Pratt.
It's Chris Pratt. So
stop it!
Chris Pratt will be the voice of Garfield.
Jared, if we could pause the recording, I'm going to go get a tequila straight up. Okay, I'll be right back.
Also, Hannah Waddingham in that movie, too. So, I mean, she'll save it.
Love her. Well, she'll save it all. But I really, even with her, I just don't know if I can. I was not very enamored with the character of Garfield, although he is an orange cat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think we all know I love an orange cat.
Yeah. So, well, I'm going to put money on it now that the movie is not going to be great. Just going to throw that out there. So, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, it's not. It was Orange Cat. I just had to say that because, you know, we talk about all sorts of things on this podcast. My orange cat, Rupert, did knock over the Christmas tree multiple times. But over the weekend, it was intense. And he broke four of my favorite ornaments, one of them from childhood.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Very upset. They shattered. It was very upsetting. Some of them, my dad was like, I can fix them, bring them home sometime and I'll glue them. And I was like, okay, dad, that's fine. But I was like, I'm ready to abandon him. And then I thought to myself, would I abandon a child? And then I thought, no, I wouldn't. So I just didn't speak to Rupert for like a day. He knew I was very upset. He also bit me that day. This was all Saturday. I had tickets to go see The Menu.
Mm-hmm.
I'd already paid to go. I was going by myself that day. I'd already paid for it. Had to miss it because then I go downstairs where the laundry machine is and stuff. It was flooding. So then I was like, no, this can't be happening. No, no, no. And I was at this moment, I was getting stuff to put the ornament. I was putting the tree away. I was like, we're done. Nope. Christmas is over. So I started to take down the tree, all the ornaments that were not broken. And then the basement started flooding. And then I put another load in. I thought I had fixed the situation. It flooded again. So then I paid for a second ticket and went to see The Menu late at night. And then I absolutely had some wine after that. So that was Saturday.
Wow. Okay.
It was quite the fiasco, but I do want everyone to know I did not hurt my cat. I adore him. We have kissed and made up and everything's okay. But obviously, if anybody has any tips and tricks for how to keep cats away from your Christmas tree, please send them to me or Jared pronto. Really appreciate it. And now back to The Menu.
So first like is that this is a good balance of a couple of different types of genres. It's yes. got some, which, I mean, you look at Succession, it's kind of the same thing in terms of balancing the genres. So this movie has equal parts comedy. It's got some thriller aspects. It's got some horror aspects, some drama aspects. There's a lot of different things going on in this movie. It's got even, I mean, I guess you could say it even has a little romance because Anya Taylor-Joy and Nicholas Hoult's characters are together in the movie, but not really that much. But it's got a lot of different things that it's doing throughout the movie.
Yes. And I liked it too, because I thought they did a really good job of weaving in elements of comedy when something like, because there was quite a bit of graphic violence in this movie. Mm-hmm. And so something awful would happen where you're like, I don't even know if this is a joke. And for me, I was like, why aren't these people reacting this way? I would be reacting this way. And kind of thinking as a viewer, as if I was in the restaurant or whatever. But then they would do something that was like funny, or they would distract you with another story. Or you said Anya, you know, she's with Nicholas Hoult's character for a while. And before he's awful, you know, it's kind of interesting, the dynamic between them. So I agree with you, Jared. But it was just, I liked the mixture, and I thought they did a really good job of weaving those things all together.
Another like I had is, I like how this movie just starts, basically. Like, the movie yes! begins, you have the characters there, they're getting on the boat to go to this restaurant. There's no like 20 minutes of, hey, we got a reservation at that restaurant tonight, are you ready? Yada yada. And then you meet everybody kind of just, you know, before they get over there. No, it's like everybody's on the boat, you get quick introductions to everybody. But I think that works for the story too, because you don't know a lot about the characters, but here they all are sharing this experience together. And like, you as the audience member, if you were in that situation, you would be in that same situation where you'd just be eating dinner with a bunch of people that you didn't No. So us as the audience is kind of feeling that same thing in terms of, there's all these people here that we don't really know who they are, what their motivations are, what their backstories are. But you learn that throughout the course of the movie.
I had the same thought when it started. I was so excited that we were immediately in the action. And I also was with you. I liked that we didn't know a lot about the characters, because that added that air of mystery where you don't really know why they all go. Initially, we find out Nicholas Hoult's character, Tyler, somebody else was supposed to come with him. And last minute, there was a switch. And that, I felt like, built tension. And also, I was like, but what happened to that person? I did get the sense right away it was like an ex-girlfriend or something. Yeah. But either way, I was like, well, I could be wrong. And what if it's a boss? Or what if it's his parents? Or what if, I don't know. We don't know the situation. But I thought it was great that they drop you right in at the action at the beginning, and they don't tell you a lot of backstory about the character, so you have to figure that out throughout the film.
Another like for this one is, it's a good length. It's 1 hour and 47 minutes. It tells a complete story, and it's under 2 hours.
Yes, I do not know why this isn't the norm. Jared and I will say this. We will always talk about if a movie's too long or if it's a good length. Now, we sometimes differ, because for me, it kind of depends the content, the journey they take you on in the film. But to me, this is what like older films were like in golden age of Hollywood. And I wish they did more of this, because especially with people having shorter attention spans, especially with people having busy lives and other things to do, I don't know why the natural inclination is not to make movies about 1 hour and 50 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good length. I will say at no point in this movie was I bored. I thought that the scenes were moving. We were moving with a lot of pace throughout the film, and something was always happening, which made for a very interesting movie. But there was never a point where it really slowed down, and I thought, okay, I'm kind of bored right now. You know, let's pick it back up. There was never that point in the movie, and it kind of just builds throughout the entire movie. And you also have that mystery aspect where you're trying to figure out things as well, almost like kind of like Knives Out vibe, where you're like, okay, who did what here, and why, how are all these people connected, and that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
another like is this is a movie that's kind of like a stage play, in the fact that once everybody gets to the restaurant, everybody's kind of in that restaurant for most of the movie. There are a couple scenes where they go outside the restaurant for a small amount of time, but for the most part, they're just in this room. And the kitchen is like, if you've seen the trailer, the kitchen is, you know, right there in the room as well. The guests can see it. The chefs can see the guests, all that. So they can walk right out to them, things like that. But I kind of like that, because I think if you did this as like a play, it would also probably work as well. I don't know. You've been in more plays than I have, so.
Yeah. Well, it just reminds me of plays, which plays, it does make sense because you're in one singular environment. That makes sense that you can't go a lot of places. You can definitely change costumes and things, but typically plays, that makes sense. If you see something that's in one location, primarily it reminds you of a play. But I was looking at our other movies we've reviewed lately, Jared, that you and I have both liked, that are kind of taking place mostly in one location, which this could differ depending on how you look at it, but like Bullet Train, for the most part, was one location. Signs pretty much takes place in the house. I think we talked about like Amsterdam. There wasn't a lot of like moving around once they were in, you know, one place. And The Wonder, definitely, we said there wasn't a lot of particularly costume changes. There wasn't a lot of like different locations. And I really gravitate towards that myself. So again, I think that could be personal preference, but that's one of my favorite things about this film. And it also proves to you, you don't need a lot of like explosions, locations, pretty things like pretty costumes and stuff to look at to make something extremely engaging.
I would totally agree. Yeah, I think it works well being in one location. So it's also an original story, which is cool to see. We don't get a ton of those nowadays with movies. Unfortunately, it's a lot of sequels or spinoffs or reboots and or things like that. So the fact that this was kind of completely unique and I won't say 100% new, because there's been movies kind of like this before, but it was nice to see something that wasn't, you know, a sequel to something or set in a cinematic universe or something like that. So.
Yes, I agree. I know you and I had talked about this recently too, because The Wonder, I was saying last episode that I was bothered by people saying it was such an original idea when I thought it was based on history, and the movie's based on a book, which is based on history. So I liked this. I did think this was a very original idea as well. And also I liked that there wasn't an element of like certain things like Nope or other movies we've seen that are also great. They have another element of like supernatural or some kind of fantastical element, like a fantasy thing. This didn't need any of that. This was just some people behaving badly, people with mental health issues, people with a bone to pick with somebody else, but it was all like psychological. So I really liked that it was all, for the most part, I don't know that I'd call them normal people, but human beings in one location, and you just see what happens when you put them all in this one room together.
Also, another like for this movie is, of course, the food. It's called The Menu, so the food has to look good, and there's various courses throughout the movie. Kind of you go through, as an audience member, the dinner, just like the guests are going through it. So there's multiple courses. You get to see all this food. They name them different dishes. Some of the names they come up with for the dishes are funny. That's where part of the comedy comes in.
Yeah.
But the food looked like extravagant just on the screen, the way they shot it and the way they prepared it. I mean, it looked, just everything looked really delicious.
Yes, the food was exceptional. And also, part of one thing I liked about the food element was that a lot of these characters and the food was it's one of those things where I love to hate it. Like, there were so many dishes that I was like, this is so annoying or so pretentious or gross. Or like the comments the people made, like, oh, I can taste that. You know, I don't even know the words they were using. But it was one of those things where I was like, I hate you, but I like love. I'm like, for lack of a better word, I'm like eating it up. I just thought that was so good. And then at one point, we're trying not to give many spoilers here, but at one point a cheeseburger is mentioned and we see a cheeseburger. And all I could think about the whole evening and the next day was a cheeseburger. And I actually went out and got a cheeseburger before the end of the weekend because all it was, but they did a good job. I mean, that was like ingrained in my brain to the point where all I wanted was to eat one. And then also wine. So they paired wine, which I do love that. I love when you go to a place and they pair a wine or a drink, a cocktail, anything with your food. And I, at the theater I went to, I actually, after, again, Two Floods and the Christmas Tree episode, I did get a glass of wine, but it was really nice because I already had one and they were talking about wine and it just, I don't know, it like made it taste better. It was more exciting to like have that glass of wine while watching the film. I don't know. So I just think they did an excellent job with sticking to that topic of food and then also really making you believe the food, to taste the food, salivate over the food and want what they were having.
So another like that I had, these two things kind of go together, but Anya Taylor-Joy in this group of people is kind of the outsider, because you know that all these people are rich, they have a lot of money, they have social status, and she's kind of the one that's not that way. And I liked that you are following her the most as an audience member, and you're also feeling like you're kind of in the same boat, where you really are just kind of like, okay, I can't really relate to a lot of these people. Just the way that she can't really relate to a lot of the people that are there around her. So I liked that aspect of it. But I also liked the little groups of people as well. You have like the three yes. dudes that are the finance bros. You have, you know, kind of like a washed up actor in John Leguizamo. And I think his assistant, yeah. but also he's having a relationship with her maybe.
Who we'll knows? Talk about that's one dislikes, of my questions. So. Yeah.
And then you have like these two people that are kind of food critics. The one lady is a food critic, but you know, they are making all these comments about the food, and then you have this older couple as well. So I liked the dynamic there. There was a lot of different groups of people that kind of all came together in that restaurant. So
yes, agreed. There was a really good mixture of people. I also enjoyed that. And I liked I think you're right. They kind of like varied in outrageousness and how pretentious they were, how cultured they were. Their ages were different too. Mm-hmm. And I definitely, I think this goes with the food. I thought the acting was so good. Even if I, you know, some of the acting performances, I'm like, eh, it was fine. But the characters were written so well that for the most part, I hated almost everybody in that restaurant. I did like Anya's character. I couldn't relate to her very much. I related to her from a not being wealthy and not being born into that kind of society. But I, you know, I didn't relate to a whole lot of her character. But I absolutely hated Nicholas Holt's character. I hated him from the beginning. I mean, he didn't even have to have his moment where I was like, please die. You are worthless and I hate you. And I was surprised she, because of Margot at the time, Margot/Aaron, her character, I was surprised she even agreed to go out with him. Like, mm-hmm. I was kind of like, what do you see in this guy? He sucks. So that really surprised me. I don't think that's an inconsistency about the movie, but it was definitely something I questioned from the beginning where I was kind of like, how did you two meet and how did you get involved and why?
Yeah, I would agree. So, and then Ralph Fiennes obviously gives a great performance in this movie.
So good.
A lot of movies he plays like a side character, but in this one he's playing, you know, the lead or the co-lead, if you will, with Anya Taylor-Joy. And he's fantastic as this chef. He's menacing. Yeah. He's you can tell that he demands respect, and that he's kind of just scary and intimidating as well. But I think he plays the role really well. I mean, there's certain things he does throughout the movie that make you feel like a sense of tension whenever he's on screen or he's talking. You never kind of know what's coming next with him. And obviously the diners don't know the menu either, so they don't know what's coming next. Only he does, but he'll like clap throughout various points in the movie, which you see in the trailer, and that, you know, startles people. And they're like, do you have to do that every single time? Like, so stuff like that. Just really, he definitely a presence on screen in this movie for sure.
Yes. And menacing is a great word to describe him. And I do think Rafe is one of those people. I don't think all actors can do this, but some are just as good at playing villains as they are playing the good guy. They're believable in both, and they do a pretty extraordinary job either way. And I think that Ralph Fiennes is absolutely one of those actors. And I just thought he did a great job being creepy AF. I didn't know if he was going to kill people. I didn't know if he was like off his meds. I could not tell what was going on, but he scared me half to death.
Do you have any other likes before we move on to dislikes?
No, thank you.
Okay. So this first one we already kind of talked about a little bit, but a lot of the characters are very pretentious, stuck up. I think they're better than everybody else. So there are not a lot of characters that are likable in the movie, kind of like certain TV. I mean, like Succession, all those characters in that show are not really likable. They're all, you know, rich and stuck up and kind of out of touch with how the world is. But and then this movie, it's kind of similar in the terms of those characters as well. So that's a little bit of a dislike, is that it is kind of hard to relate to the characters in this movie. I feel like I said, I feel like you can relate to Anya Taylor-Joy probably the best because she's the one that's not in this situation as everybody else. But the rest of the characters, it is hard to relate to them.
Yes, agreed. And I also think that that's a little bit risky when you have so many characters who potentially in a psychological thriller kind of a thing could die. I do think that's a gamble because a lot of the people, this is not really a spoiler. Some people do die in this film. And most of the people, I didn't care if they died because I hated them. I was just like, you are horrible. You're not contributing to society. What a bad attitude you have. You're rich and not even thankful for it. So I will say it was it's fun. It is fun to kind of hate those people collectively or be a viewer who, like, you know, you can just watch them and kind of judge them, but I couldn't relate to them, which is difficult. And then I didn't really care when bad things happened to most of them because I didn't like them.
So another dislike is that we talked about John Leguizamo's character and also the character of Amy's character as well. Those two, they're together. I think they're like, she's his agent or publicist, and she's like, like having an affair with him, but it's never really totally explained. Basically, he's kind of a washed up actor and is looking for work and hasn't been in stuff in a while. And she's just there with him, but you know, it's not his wife, but he is married. It was kind of hard that the dynamic of those two people were kind of hard to figure out.
Yeah, and they were the two people that I didn't really hate. I kind of liked them. I wanted to know what was going on there. And also, John Leguizamo, sidebar, I think he's one of those people, like, Kevin Kline is one of my favorite people, actors ever, that I think is, like, kind of under the radar. He's great at so many things, and he's in so many things, but I think he kind of gets forgotten sometimes, but I think he's fantastic. But I didn't hate him, and I didn't hate her. I thought she might have been an assistant or something, mm-hmm. but I didn't like that there was no resolution. I didn't like that. I didn't know if they were lovers, friends. I didn't know her position compared to him. I actually didn't catch, Jared, you're really good. I didn't really catch that he was married. I kind of just thought he was maybe abusing his power as, like, she was a subordinate in some way, but I didn't really even catch that he was married. So I don't know, but that I didn't like that there was no resolution there. We don't really know what's going on with them, what led them to that moment, and then what happens, you know. Well, yeah. We do know what happens at the end, but you know.
Yeah, yep. So, and I think we're going to have to talk about the ending here in a second. So
I think we are.
Spoilers are probably coming
spoilers
up.
Spoilers are coming, but please come back. If you have to turn the podcast off, please come back and listen to the end.
Yes. So, some other dislikes, if you will. There are some, there's some pretty graphic violence in this movie. There's multiple suicides, deaths, of course. One in particular that comes at a very shocking point. You don't really see it coming at all. They're making this like dish, and Ralph Fiennes is talking about the chef that is coming up in the program and has been by his side for a while, and then that guy shoots himself basically as they're like making this dish or whatever. And it's like one of the most shocking moments of the movie. But I feel like if you're not a fan of graphic violence, you may want to avoid this one because you don't see that really in the trailer. I mean, you assume that something's probably going to happen, but what actually plays out on screen is, I think, a little more intense than I was expecting going into the movie.
Yes. I will say, because we've alerted people there could be spoilers. There's a couple things that are very hard for me in movies. Anything with slitting a throat or a wrist, I can't deal. Any person shooting themselves in the face, cannot deal. And it happened so fast that I couldn't even, like, look away or mentally prepare. So that was really rough. You did get the sense something bad was about to happen just because of the way Ralph Fiennes was talking to him, and he was the guy was crying. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of like, okay, something bad's about to happen. But I didn't think shooting himself in the face was going to be the bad thing. And I was surprised. I did expect this to be somewhat violent because even in the preview, it looks like something bad's going to happen. But I did not expect how graphic and how much violence. But the thing I think that stood out to me the most that you mentioned, Jared, that I would really warn people about, there are multiple suicides. I think suicide is difficult to talk about or address anyway and can be very triggering. But the fact that there were two in this film was tough to deal with. So please be warned if that is difficult for you. There's two suicides.
I had two things I wanted to just ask you about, too. The first was the point in the movie where basically they go outside and the men are trying to basically run away or get away from the staff, but the women all go inside and basically just eat and drink wine. I didn't know if you thought if that was like supposed to be a social commentary on something or what, because that was kind of different from everything else in the movie. It was like almost a time where you had a kind of relaxing period for a few minutes in terms of like, okay, nothing bad I don't think is going to happen here. But what did you think about that particular part?
What a great question, Jared. I will admit I didn't think it was a social commentary on something, but now that you say that, I did notice that the men were kind of painted as bumbling idiots in this movie, which I love personally. But I did notice the men were kind of, cheaters and guys that are like abusing money and ungrateful and just scum. And the women had their issues, but you didn't just hate everything about them. You could kind of find some common ground. I didn't find them super relatable, but I could find common ground. The men, I could not. But I will admit, when that was happening, I did not calm down. I didn't think, oh, we have a moment to breathe. I thought something very bad was about to happen, and they were trying to like trick you into calming down. What were your thoughts?
I thought that it was kind of interesting for them to just go outside for that period of the dinner. And I don't know, I thought it was nice to kind of get, a moment with all the women on screen, kind of having a conversation together. We hadn't really had that up to that point in the movie. And it's kind of a bonding experience too, for the women in the movie, in terms of maybe what they're thinking and what they're experiencing. There also is a point in the movie where everybody kind of understands the fact that they're probably not getting out of here. This is after that point has already happened. So I think they're just kind of accepting it and just, you know, trying for the best basically. So I thought it was just, I don't know. I think I need to watch it again. Maybe I'd pick up some more things in that certain part, but I thought it was interesting that they decided to do that when everything else had been just kind of eating food and stuff like that. So,
yeah, I did like that the women bonded. I also liked that they found some humor in the situation. Like they were just like, let's just drink, and somebody was smoking. Like they just kind of calmed down. I don't know. But I did this whole movie. I kept thinking, I think my brother would really like this movie. I messaged him right after and I was like, I just feel like this is your kind of film.
So the only other thing I wanted to talk about was the ending. Obviously, at the end of this film, what happens is the cheeseburger situation. Anya Taylor-Joy somehow breaks into Ralph Fiennes' house and discovers that he used to work like kind of as like a short order cook at like a McDonald's or something like that before he became a very famous chef. And so she asks him for a cheeseburger. He makes the cheeseburger. She eats it. And then she's like, she takes a bite and she's like, I'm not very hungry, if you could box it up for me. And the whole night she hasn't been eating the food, which is like pissing him off to no end.
Yes. He
cannot figure out why she will not eat the food. So that's just kind of the final FU to him before the movie ends. And then the end of the movie, she obviously escapes, but they make s'mores as the dessert. Obviously s'mores require fire. They set the whole restaurant on fire and then everybody basically burns.
And he says s'mores are an abomination. He thinks s'mores are like, it's a disgusting, I love a s'more. But you know what? I don't need the marshmallow. I'm not like a huge marshmallow fan. I'll eat them, but I would really gladly just melt some chocolate on a graham cracker and eat 12 of them.
Be good. So, yeah.
That's just my thoughts. But were you going? So I didn't want to stop you.
I thought the ending was interesting in that you get a little bit of redemption for Anya Taylor-Joy's character. And I thought it was interesting that the ending, I was really interested to see how they were going to tie the ending into a dish or a food. And I kind of liked what they did there by making, you know, they make s'mores and then they just, you know, burn the building down. So,
yeah. And That's a more creative way to kill people, quite honestly. Not that anyone needs creative ways to kill anybody, or to kill anybody for that matter. But it was better than just watching someone just shoot a bunch of people. So that was clever, I thought, by tying the dish in. And I also liked, we find out as the movie goes on that Anya, her name, Margot, she keeps telling everybody her name's Margot, but she, her name is really Erin. And we find out she's had some pretty traumatic things happen in her life. That actually one of the things happened with one of the other characters that's in the restaurant, which is interesting. But you do, I was happy she got away. And I didn't know what to expect, which is another thing I really liked about the film, is I was guessing until the end. And I thought it was clever how she got out. And I don't think it was ridiculous how she got out. I thought it was really clever how she thought to ask for the cheeseburger, which it's the only moment you can semi-like Ralph Fiennes, because you can see that he became a chef because of the joy of cooking. He liked preparing a meal for people, serving people, and having them taste, have that experience. Clearly, he's gotten away from that and probably needs to be medicated, but and maybe some therapy. But it was interesting that she thought of that, and how his facial expressions changed, his communication changed, and then he also let her go, which I did not expect him to do. So I was very pleased with the ending, and more than anything, I was happy that I was so surprised by the ending.
Yeah. So, okay, I think that's all of our thoughts on The Menu. So a lot to talk about with this movie. There's definitely a lot of twists and turns and a lot of things to discuss. So I like those type of movies, the ones that kind of keep you guessing and then give you a lot to think about after they're over. So who goes first for the scores this week?
I think it's you. Let's go with you. I think it is you, but I know my score already.
Okay. I really enjoyed this movie. Right now it's in my top 10 for the year.
Too.
I think it's very original. In fact, I have it at number 4 right now. So very high. I'm going to give this one a 91 out of 100.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Pretty high score, but I really liked it. I was excited to see it. It was one of my more anticipated movies. I'm glad it lived up to the hype that I had for it. And I loved that it was an original story and kept you guessing the whole time. And it's not very long. It's definitely one I will rewatch because I feel like I'll pick up on more things the second or third time I watch it.
Yeah.
But I thought the performances were great. So yeah, I really liked it.
So this is one of the few times I'm a little lower than you. Okay. I'm going with 89, which is currently what the critics are at too. Not that that matters. This is one of my favorite movies of the year so far too. And actually I mentioned The Northman earlier. That's been in my top 10 the whole year since we saw it. But I am starting to reconsider some of my movies that I've had in the top 10. So that's why I'm kind of like, I don't know where to tell you The Menu is because it might change. But this movie was one of the most surprising, like pleasantly surprising movies for me. I thought it was incredibly inventive and original. The acting was great. The only things I really didn't like are like some of the triggering, the graphic violence and the suicide. I hated almost everybody, and that's hard for me to just dislike everyone. But other than that, really solid film that I would gladly watch again too. Like I would definitely sit and watch it again. So anyway, 89 for me.
And you can follow the Silver Screen Podcast on social media at Podcast Silver on Twitter and Instagram. Search the Silver Screen Podcast on Facebook and find us there. You can also find the links in the description of the show as well on whatever platform you're listening on. Also follow us on Letterboxd too. We rate and review on Letterboxd. Katie said last week she might even start writing little reviews next year on Letterboxd. So
2023.
We'll get ready for that. So
new year, new me.
And next week on the show, we are going to talk about the new Will Smith movie, Emancipation. This is the first movie that has come out since the slap incident earlier this year at the Academy Awards. It's on Apple TV Plus. It is based on a true story of an enslaved man during the Civil War who risks his life for his family and freedom. Will Smith is in the lead role. It's in black and white. I feel like this is a real Oscar-baiting movie from Will Smith. Just kind of like King Richard was, but we'll see. I'm interested to see the conversation surrounding this movie as well. And we're also going to research, we can't remember too if he's even eligible to win an Oscar or not. Because I thought the Academy maybe banned him. So I don't even know if he can go to the Oscars if this movie gets nominated.
I know. I can't remember either. And I think we all know him. I was really pretty disgusted with the Will Smith incident last year. So I don't know how I'm going to feel about this, but I do think he's a fine actor. I really like these types of movies. I definitely think it looks Oscar baity. And as of late, he's been in some really exceptional movies. So I'm definitely going to give it a go. I'm glad we are doing this. But I'm also just as intrigued, like Jared said, about the conversation surrounding this film. So we'll see.
And just so you know, Will Smith has been banned from the Academy Awards for 10 years. So cannot go to the Oscars
for
10 years.
Okay, so he can win.
I believe so.
He can't be there.
I'll have to research it a little bit more. He cannot be there, but I can't find out from these quick articles if he can actually get nominated and win possibly. So we'll research that a little bit more, and I'm sure we'll talk about that a lot more on our next episode when we talk about Emancipation.
Until next time, we'd like to thank the Academy.